Okay, turn to Genesis chapter 30, and we will continue on. Last time we talked about Jacob and Rachel and Leah and Bilhah and Zilpah, wives and handmaids and the situation they got involved in there, and the sons of Jacob, which become the tribes of Israel. God has given this promise to way back to Abraham that he would make a nation out of them. And up to this point, it seems like, man, it's been awful slow at making this nation, right? Different generations that have taken place, and there's really no growth in this nation of Israel that he's creating. Yet here we have the 12 tribes and the children that are born to Jacob. Interesting here, if you stop and look at the sons that are born and who the mothers are. It's actually interesting. Leah, who actually he was married to first, right? That was technically his first wife, if you will. How many children did she have? How many boys did she have in this list? Six. So it's interesting that his original wife, Leah, who he actually, you know, he was wanted to marry Rachel, but it turns out that Leah had half of the children of the nation of Israel. You know what I'm saying? Half of the sons. Bilhah, one of the handmaids, had, do you remember? Two. Zilpah, the other handmaid, had
two.
And Rachel has, at least as far as this list goes, only one so far. So there's 11 boys. There's 12 tribes. Benjamin comes a little later. We'll get to that when we get there. So it's interesting just from that standpoint once you stop and take a look at who actually had these different children. As we continue on, we're about verse 25 where we've gone through the list of boys that have been born. Verse 25, and it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away that I may go into my own place and in my country. So Jacob figures, hey, I've been here as long as I'm supposed to have been, which is what, by the way? The first 7 years he was there working so that he could marry Rachel. The second 7 years was so he could marry Rachel. Do you know how many years he was there altogether? We don't get to that till for a couple more verses. Actually,
I think about 20 or 21.
20. If you jump to chapter 31, verse 41. And this is later on down the road a little bit, but Jacob says to Laban, verse 41, thus I have been 20 years in your house. I served thee 14 years for your two daughters, so seven for the first one, seven for the second one, right? And then what does he say? And 6 years for your cattle or livestock. And it's interesting here, it says, thou hast changed my wages 10 times. We'll talk about that too. So 20 years total. If it says here, verse 25, that after Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob went to Laban and said, it's time to go, and then we'll get into the agreement they made and he stayed later, it would seem to indicate that it's been 14 years that he's been there, right? Well, the first 7 years he wasn't married to anybody, right? But the second 7 years, he was married to Rachel and Leah, and then the two handmaids were involved too. So it would seem to indicate that in that 7 years, 12, because it talks about Dinah. 12 children were born. Actually, it could be, it's a possibility, because all it says is when Joseph was born. So it's possible that Dinah was born after Joseph. So it could have been a little longer than the 7 years. But still, basically in that seven-year period, give or take, you know, a few months here or there, whatever, all these children are born. And that's obviously possible because, pardon me?
7 years or 14?
The first 7 years, he wasn't married to anybody. So those don't count as far as children being born. So a lot of children have been born in a short period of time. So anyhow, just to keep trying to keep track of the time frame involved here, God has greatly blessed Jacob with children in a short period of time, right?
Just like he said he would.
So he goes to Laban and he says, you know what? Basically, he says, I've been here long enough. You know, I've been here my 14 years, seven for each, and it's time for me to go. I want to go home. He says, send me away that I may go into my own place and to my country. Give me my wives, verse 26, and my children for whom I have served thee, and let me go, for thou knowest my service which I have done thee. So basically he goes to Laban, his father-in-law, and says, you know what? I've served my 7 years and 7 years. Basically our contract is done. Let me go. I want to go home, back to my family. I want to take my wives and my children, and we want to pack up and go back to my family. We'll get into that in a minute. And Laban says unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, or wait, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. Interesting, he wants him to stay here. Why?
Because he's been blessed. I will bless those that bless you.
Okay, so what he's saying is here, I've learned that God has blessed you, and in connection with that, because you've taken care of my livestock, that means what? I've reaped the benefit of that. So Laban's gone from just the average farmer to his livestock has multiplied immensely in that 14 years that Jacob has been there, because God has blessed Jacob. And as a side effect to that, Laban says, you know, basically I've become wealthy in the fact that you've been here. It's interesting here. If you look at this word, it says, I want you to stay. I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. In other words, I reap the benefit of you being here and God's blessing. This word experience is an interesting word. If you look it up in the concordance, actually it also can be involving divination or fortune telling or observing signs or omens. It can also be diligently observed. It's just interesting here that this could possibly have some connection with signs and omens and fortune telling. I don't know if Laban was into that, and he's saying, because I found out through these sources that God has blessed you, or I've just observed, either way. But just some information there for you. So he says to Laban says to Jacob, and he said, appoint me thy wages and I will give it. So what's Laban saying here? He says, tell me what you want for a wage to stay. Whatever it is, I'll give it. Which would seem to indicate that Laban understands that everything that he's gained in this last 14 years is only because Jacob's been there. So he's willing to pretty much give Jacob anything that he wants to keep him to stay there. It doesn't. Pardon me?
Find good help.
Yeah, it's hard to find good help. You notice it doesn't say here, don't leave because I'll miss my daughters and grandchildren. It seems to be that all Laban's concerned about is his wealth and his livestock. And so that's what he's after. So Jacob says to him, he says, and he said unto him, thou knowest how I have served thee and how thy cattle was with me, or your livestock was with me. For it was a little when thou hadst before I came, and now it's increased to a multitude. So here we find the fact that he started out with little, and now he has a multitude, great livestock. And the Lord hath blessed thee since my coming, and now when shall I provide for my own household also? So he says, so Jacob says to Laban, yes, you're right. This is the Lord's doing. The Lord has blessed you through me. You're right. He says, but I need to supply for my own household as well. Now, I guess they've been living there room and board because he's been living in that area and has to obviously have provided for those women and children somehow. So obviously that's part of his pay rate or whatever is providing for the children. But anyhow, so he says, I need to provide for my house, my own house also. And he said, so here's the deal that Jacob comes up with. Why do you think Laban didn't come up with a suggestion as far as what the wages might be? What happened last time? Last time he said to Jacob, okay, what kind of deal do you want? And Jacob came up with a deal, okay, I'll work 7 years. And then he said again, I'll work seven more years. And yeah. Yeah, free basically. And in the meantime, what happened with Laban? He's raking in the dough, right? So he figures, hey, it worked the last couple times. I'll let Jacob tell me what he's going to do, and we'll go with that. Maybe I'll get a better deal than I could suggest on my own. So verse 31, he says, what shall I give thee? And Jacob said, thou shalt not give me anything. If thou wilt do this thing for me, and I will again feed and keep thy flock. Interesting here. Jacob says, I don't want you to give me anything. I think he's learned over the past 14 years some of his father-in-law's characteristics and doesn't want to be beholden to or anybody claim that he got to where he was because of what he was given. As we see down through here, basically he wants to trust in the Lord to make that provision as he's seen God provide in the past. So, it says, this is what we're going to do, and I'll feed your flock and take care of your livestock again. It says, verse 32, I will pass through all thy flock today, removing from thence all the speckled and spotted cattle and all the brown cattle among the sheep and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and of such shall be my hire. So shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come, when it shall come for my hire before thy face, every one that is not speckled and spotted among the goats, brown among the sheep, that shall be counted stolen with me. And Laban said, behold, I would it might be according to thy word. And he removed that day the he-goats that were ring-streaked and spotted, and all the she-goats that were speckled and spotted, and every one that had some white in it, and all the brown among the sheep, and gave them into the hands of his sons. And he set 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's stock. We're going to stop here. So what was the deal?
I'll separate the livestock by certain colors.
Yes.
And I'm doing it now.
Yes. So this is how the deal works. He's going to take all the livestock that are not plain color, you know, if they're plain brown or plain white or whatever, that's Laban's stock. I'm going to take all the speckled, spotted, anything that's colored, and we're going to separate it out of your livestock, or we're going to separate the two. Whatever your livestock that's not speckled and spotted, whenever they produce a speckled and or spotted or colored or whatever offspring, that's going to be my hire. So Laban, you're not losing anything. I'm not taking this bunch or anything out of what you currently own. You keep all of that. And actually, who is it that set 3 days between himself and Jacob? It's actually Laban that takes and gives all the spotted and speckled livestock to his sons and moves them 3 days away. Why do you think he did that? Okay, that's the whole idea here. So if you stop and think about the situation here, you take all this whole herd of cattle and livestock, sheep, goats, whatever it is, and you take out, we're going to talk about genetics here in a minute, and I don't know a lot about it, but I know a little bit, enough to be dangerous. So you take the whole herd and you separate all the ones that have a dominant gene, right? There's DNA and genes, and your eyes are your color because they're a dominant gene, and your hair is that color, unless you color it, because it's of the dominant gene. You know what I'm saying? So those genes that you have determine your height, your all this kind of thing that make a difference. So he's taking all of them that have the dominant gene of spots and streaks and speckles, whatever it is, and he's separating it out of the herd that he's going to take his inheritance from. So that you realize what he's doing. He's taking the greatest possibility of having livestock born from now on with speckled spots, and he's taking the biggest possibility of that happening again out, because all these that are plain colored have dominant genes that they're plain colored, right? So really, the deal is, I'm going to make this as difficult as possible, because that's what he's doing. He's making it as difficult as possible to have any livestock born that are speckled and spotted, because he's removed these, they're taken away, they're no longer bred with these, so all of these are plain colors, and the chances of them producing speckled and spotted is way less, because now the gene pool is only the plain colored ones over here. See what he's doing?
3 days, about 60 miles.
Yeah. So he's separated them. Well, Laban separated them, probably because Laban is a dishonest person. And he figured, you know what? I'm dishonest, and if I'm dishonest, maybe he is too, and he's going to bring some of these in here and, you know, breed them with these other ones, and then that's how he's going to do this. So they separate him out of there. So let's continue on. And Jacob took him rods of green poplar and of hazel and of chestnut tree and pilled white streaks in them and made the white appear which was in the rods. And he set the rods which he had pilled before the flocks in the gutters, in the water troughs, when the flocks came to drink, and that they should conceive when they came to drink. And the flocks conceived before the rods and brought forth cattle ring-streaked, speckled, and spotted. And Jacob did separate the lambs and set the faces of the flocks towards a ring-streaked and a brown in the flock of the Laban, and he put his own flocks by themselves and put them not under Laban's cattle. So what's happened here? You know, for years I thought, well, Jacob cheated, right? Because that's what this is all about, putting these things in the watering troughs, and that's what brought. You can't change genetics by cattle or livestock seeing a certain color something in a trough. What's the purpose of this? The purpose is verse 38. It says in the last part of that verse, when the flocks came to drink, that they should conceive when they came to drink. The whole purpose behind this is to, oh, it's interesting here. The word conceive here, you know what else it means? Yeah, I know you don't because I looked it up. It means hot or in heat. Ever hear of animals being in heat and ready to breed? That's the idea here. The idea is that somehow something to do with seeing these white streaks in the water, or maybe some chemical that's in these trees or whatever is put in water, basically encourage those animals to breed instead of waiting for that process. So basically he's trying to hurry up the breeding process among the flocks, among the cattle, among the sheep, among the goats. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The tree takes that.
Yeah.
So it shows up in the
yeah.
Same
yeah. So the idea is here he's not putting these in there to make spotted, ring spot, speckled, whatever offspring. He's there just to speed up the process a little more than what it is. Who is this going to help? I mean, who should this help more than anybody else?
Laban,
because he's using the livestock that are all plain colored. Did you notice what else it said he's done? When the speckled or ring spot or whatever, whenever the colored ones are born, what's he do with those? He separates them again, which means he is again taking that dominant gene out of the mix, which means if livestock are born that are spotted or speckled or ring speckled, I'm going to stop saying that, colored. I'm going to say colored, okay? So if they've got colors or spots, it's not because he's doing anything. It's because what?
The Lord is.
Because God is allowing those to be born more often. And he has done almost as much as he can to keep that from happening.
You haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah.
But it's a little comical when you come to verse 41.
Yeah.
Jacob was a schemer.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Hang on a second. So he put them in there to hurry up the breeding process to get them to breed faster, and had nothing to do with the color of the livestock being born. And really, even this should have benefited Laban in this process that's taken place here. So verse 41, and it came to pass whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters, that they may conceive among the rods. And when their cattle were feeble, he put them not in. So wait a minute, but what's he doing? What does anybody who breeds livestock do?
The
what?
He's picking the strongest one.
Okay, he's breeding the strongest among the herd. Right? The feeble ones, he doesn't want them, he's not separating them, but he's not encouraging them to breed. So he's taking the strongest of the livestock and trying to get them to breed more. That's sound livestock. Pardon me?
Husbandry.
Yes, that's sound breeding practices. You take the strongest and you breed them, right? Because you want the strongest livestock. And who would that benefit as well? Right? We're over here in this group. All I'm doing is breeding the strongest back into your group, although the feeble ones are still in there. It turns out, though, that even in that, God took and amongst the strongest ones that he encouraged to breed, they were having what? Spotted and speckled offspring. Even though he had done pretty much everything he could to keep that from happening. Laban looks at this and thinks, oh yeah, okay, this is going to work good for me because I'm going to just keep increasing. But God has a different idea in mind. God, even though the cards, if you will, the cards were stacked against him, God is able to do whatever he wants, right? No matter what takes place. So it turns out, verse 42, but the cattle were feeble and he put them not in, so that the feeble cattle were Laban's and the stronger were Jacob's. That's God's doing as well, because the only reason they became Jacob's cattle was why? They were born spotted. Not because they were stronger or weaker, but just because they were spotted. Who made them spotted? The Lord did. So this is all the Lord's doing here as we're pretty much done. And the man increased exceedingly and had much cattle and maidservants and men servants and camels and asses. The idea is here, as we go through this whole thing, God is the one that's worked in this situation. If anything, Jacob made it more and more difficult for God to do that. When does God enjoy working?
When it seems impossible.
When it seems impossible. Many times we try to make things easier for God, right? But really, I think God enjoys working when things seem to be more impossible. God loves to show himself strong when we are what? Weak. Something for us to keep in mind. It's the impossible that God loves to do, because then what?
He gets all the glory.
We know that he's the one doing the work and he gets all the glory. Let's keep that in mind this week. Okay, Lord bless you this morning. You're dismissed.